this morning's announcements. On July 29th will be the community worship service at the community building with refreshments at 9:30 and the services at 10.
Our scripture this morning is Psalm 52, 1 through 5. Psalm 52, 1 through 5. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we can be here with you today. Thank you that we will not be uprooted from the land of the living, Lord. Help us to follow you and trust you and just put our lives in your hands. Be with the service and bless it that we will learn something more about our relationship with you. In thy precious name, amen. Please stand as we sing some more.
I do have a problem with that. Anyway.
Okay, so my parents did close on their house. Woohoo! And they have moved some stuff in. However, the day the closing was the day the exterminator was supposed to be there at their Comanche home. So now they've been kicked off the schedule for the bug thing. So now they're praying for the bug man to come before they could put it on the market, hopefully by the 30th. That's the plan. So we'll wait and see what happens, but pray for the bug man. That's what we're praying for.
Well, you know, we should always pray for the bug man, because there's got to be something wrong with the guy that chases bugs all the time. Let's get real. At least that's what my mom used to tell me.
I'm going to embarrass him, but 21 years ago today, this man made me a mom, and so it is one of the best days that ever happened to me, so I'm very proud of him because I think he turned out pretty well.
Did you want to sing happy birthday to him while he was right there?
So 2 weeks ago, my buddy Jorge came to visit, and I was just going to say it's been pretty awesome. Over the last couple of years, watch him develop his faith. I would have never thought that the Lord could really use me. My junior year of high school, he came out and he worked for us for a summer. And I remember, unfortunately for Dad, we didn't get a ton of work done because we would just get lost in conversation. And it was just, I didn't realize then what God was doing. And I didn't think, like I said, at that time in my life, I didn't think God could really use me. I didn't think I was mature enough. I didn't think a lot of things, and I just didn't think a lot of things about my faith. It wasn't as big a part of my life as it is now, or as it should have been. And it's been crazy watching him, because we would have these crazy conversations, and then he would really start weighing what he was thinking of whatever subject in the Bible. Like now he's no longer Catholic just because he chooses not to be. Like, that's just something. He's far enough in his faith that he can make a decision to choose to be whatever he wants. And he just chose to be baptized this year, and that was amazing too. And that's the big reason he can no longer be Catholic. He felt like he wanted to choose to be baptized, and now he's dealing with this. His parents think he's spending way too much time with his faith, which I just blows my mind, because my parents brought me up in the church, and so now he's dealing with that. It's just amazing, because now he's challenging me, because I mean, now we have these conversations, and I always felt like I had to be mature enough to give him advice and to guide him and try and help him. And now he's challenging me, and I'm growing, because he's bringing all these questions, and now I don't know where I'm going, but I just think it's amazing.
Amen. Isn't God good? God is good? And all the time? God is good. Amen. Anyone else?
Well, I actually had a run-in with a burn barrel this week, and that is why I have this wonderful haircut. Most of my hair, but I am just very thankful that it was not worse.
Amen. I like the hair, though. I mean, just saying. I thought it looked cute when you came through the door. So that's just me. I think we need to have some advertising. And you know, well, all but two people have seen these things before, right? And we change the color because I get bored, okay? And so, but once in a while, I think as a church, we get this idea that, well, why would we do that again? Why do we fill this silly thing out every week? What's he going to do with those? Well, I'm paper in my office. No. The point is not what I do with these. The point is we're in recalibration. We're trying to change the culture of the church. And if one person fills these out with one person beside them that doesn't come to our church on a regular basis, we've made an inroad. We might get their information. We might be able to get back to them. And I'm going to use Nicole here for my example. They came to church way back, even before the baby was born, okay? And I had no way of getting a hold of them. And so as a culture, as a church, we have to learn that, yeah, once in a while, we're going to do some things that we don't really like to do, and it seems boring, and it seems ludicrous, and all those kind of things. But that's what Christianity is all about. Helping other people, not us. And so the next time you get one of these and you're filling it out, remember the Lord said, do all things to His glory. Not yours, His. And He'll bring the people. And we have to change our culture in such a way that we allow them to be a part. And I think we'll just call that good. I guess we could just go home. I'm done preaching. All right, a moment of silence. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You, Lord, for being an awesome God. We thank You for the opportunity to get up and wake to such a beautiful sunrise, to a beautiful day outside. but we want you to know. Even though we love you with all our hearts, mind, soul, and body, we'd like some rain. We think we need it. And so we're just reminding you this day that we could use a little rain. Our country's parched. Our crops look like they need rain. And so we beseech you this morning, Lord, to bless us as only you can. We think of those that became mothers 21 years ago. We think of those children that grow from being mothers. We think of how our lives change and the beauty of how you work through us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our understanding of ourselves. Your word does not go out and come back void. You work through us. And we thank you, Lord, for the ability to stop and see those things happen. We thank you for the growth that happens when we understand it. And as a church, we relish in the idea that your word is going forward. We don't always see it. We don't even always hear about it. But when we do, like the angels in heaven, we're going to celebrate. We thank you for taking care of Nicole and allowing her a new haircut. And we want to thank you, Lord, for taking care of her and keeping her safe, even though things were probably pretty wild for a minute. But we know that you are there. You take care of us no matter what happens. You watch over us. And sometimes we have to have those kind of things happen just for us to remember who's really in charge. Who is the one that's going to make life for us better. The one that walks beside us daily. The one that watches over our needs. As your prayer says, our daily bread. When we need it, we'll get it. And so we leave all these things up to you. We understand that you'll take care of us. We ask, Lord, that you be with those that are spreading your gospel and growing the kingdom around the world. And so we just ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon them. Give them peace and strength and wisdom as they do the work that you have called them to do somewhere else, on another continent, in another language. We just ask, Lord, that you be with them. We think of those in Wichita County that may not have went to church this morning. Those that may never go to church this morning or any other morning. And we ask, Lord, that you bring them to our hearts. That you help us to reach out and find them and draw them close to you. If in no other way but in prayer. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit infill us, that you take care of us, that you open our minds this morning to your word. Help us to hear from you this day. And all God's people said, amen. You know, Pastor, really, if he's going to preach, ought to have a Bible. That's just part of what I think I'm supposed to do. But I still haven't got used to this new format either. You know, so we're all in the same boat, right? Well, this morning I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll tell you, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I just want to have you ready because I'm really not ready to read it. But I better find it. Okay. There. almost thought I'd lost my notes there for a second. Now, I just want to know if other people are like me. You know, we was talking last week about understanding the word, right? So this week, as I was getting ready for my sermon, I went through and I knew exactly what it was all about. I knew what it was about 2 weeks ago. I had it all figured out. I've tried to work on this plan to where I would just love to be 2 weeks ahead in my sermon preparation. So if something came up on the internet or on the radio, I could interject that maybe into my sermon, right? So I started out with the idea that I was almost ready, okay? And then I realized when I went back to go over it, I was ready. But God had different plans. So we're gonna change it somewhat. I really thought the idea of my sermon this morning was that I was going to explain why this here lasted the test of time. While I do believe that, I'm not sure that's what the scripture God gave me is exactly what we want to say this morning. And so if we go back to last week's and we talk about the idea of not actually understanding what God's Word says every time or understanding what it's telling us, 2 weeks ago I read through this. 2 weeks ago I started my outline. Last night and early this morning, God said, "That's a good rendition, but it's not what I want to hear." It's not that my thought process was necessarily wrong, but that's not what he wanted to hear. That's not what you should want to hear. And I think as Christians, we have to remember that that's kind of the way it is. We have to stop and really realize what we have this book for. You know, in Sunday school class, we was discussing this somewhat, and they've just about heard my whole spiel, which is really sad, but they get it again. They're lucky. You know, as we look at Scripture, we have to stop and try to figure out how that applies to me, right? How that really works in my world. And so this morning, I really want us to think about, are you poured out before God? Are you a drink offering for God, poured out before Him completely, sacrificially, His servant? And so this morning, I do want you to think about the Bible. I want you to understand that, yeah, I still believe that it is going before us, and it's always going to be before us. It was before time, right? You know, John 1:1 says, "That which was formed in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." So God not only started with the word, you know, we can go back to Genesis, you know, and we can read John 1, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. And so nothing was made without the Word, right? Okay. So we understand that the Bible is the authority. The Bible is the truth. But I think the problem we have may not be the fact that we don't understand that it is God's Word or that it is true. I think as a culture, we tend to wish, like everything else, that we could change it a little to fit us, or to fit the culture, or to fit something different. We sometimes read it and we know exactly what it says, And then we pray to God and we say, now, Lord, if you could just change this word, or if I could pull this one out. Yeah. If I pulled this one out, it reads totally different. And so this morning, I think as we look through our scripture, we want to stop and understand that we need to know this. We all know that this is the Word of God, right? But are we really ready to use it? Are we really ready to do what John's asking us to do, asking, or Paul's asking Timothy to do this morning? Because no matter who you are, we're all ministers. We're all priests in a holy priesthood. We are all God's servants. And so what he's telling Timothy, he's telling us. And so let's just start here, and we will start with verse 1, chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? This isn't a hint. This isn't, well, maybe you ought to do this. This isn't saying that maybe, you know, if you had time next week, you might try this. This is a command. He's charging us. The word here is almost, would have been used in court of law. It's like he's saying that handed down from the judge, you will do this. It's a sentence, so to speak. And so we have to stop and think of it that way. And when we think about a poured out offering, we got to remember this is a command handed down by God through John, or through, yeah, through John. No, through Paul. I'm going to get this right. See, I told you, I've changed this in the middle of the night, right? Okay. Anyway, preach the word. How many preached the word last week? I'm thinking Dylan might have. Okay, he just didn't know it. You understand what I'm saying? Our lives have to preach the word. And sometimes I think we ought to use words, because this goes on to say, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. It doesn't say when you get a chance. It doesn't say, well, this would be a great idea, but maybe after fair. I keep saying that. I'm thinking I'm going to get some sleep after fair. I hope that works. But we're supposed to be prepared all the time, in season and out of season. Today, tomorrow, whenever. And then it has three things in a row here, I think what we want to think about. One is correct. Correct others. Correct their misunderstanding of what the word says. Correct those things that they're doing wrong. Correct their thinking. Not their actions, their understanding. And then it says rebuke. Now we're going to talk about their actions. We're going to talk about their moral compass. We're going to talk about the things that they do that probably as Christians or as good people, period, they ought not to do. You know, I don't care who you are, killing somebody is a bad idea. But then again, think about it. That killing somebody, murder, is in the same sentence, in the same list as lying, taking God's name in vain. It's all sin because we're doing it because we know we shouldn't. Okay? So when we rebuke somebody, we're helping them morally. And then it says, encourage. Encourage. Now, wasn't it encouragement when Dylan got up and gave his testimony? Great testimonies like that are always encouraging. When we allow God to not only work through us, but allow others to grow through that growth, that understanding, it helps everyone. It opens up our heart. It helps us soften a bit, so to speak. And so never feel like anything's too small to share. I can almost relate probably to Nicole because, you know, one time I was lighting my gas grill and it wasn't lighting. So I decided, well, I'll just throw this match in there. That ought to work. So I didn't even get the match clear out of my hand before the hair left my face. All I saw was a ball of fire go right on by me. So I understand what that kind of looks like. From here forward, I had no hair. Well, hey, I'm there again. But anyway, it's one of those things where we have to learn to encourage others. Not only by how we live, but how we pray for them, how we walk beside them, how we literally hold them up. Paul tells us we have to do this. Paul tells us that we need to do these three things every day. This is part of that indictment, if you will, that has been handed down from God. So we want to take it to heart. And with great patience and careful instruction. Now see, that's where it gets tough. Some of us don't have great patience. I don't know about you, but I'd like things to happen. And when I think about how they ought to work, they happen like that. When I go to do them, they... You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work that way. It never does. So we have to be patient with those people. When we encourage, when we build up, when we rebuke, when we help others with their Christian walk, or even start to bring them to Christ, we need to do it with patience, with understanding. We need to do it in such a way that they will understand that what we believe this book says is not only right, but true, no matter what it says or where it says it. See, too many of our denominations in America today have kind of left certain scriptures out of their DNA, so to speak. They leave certain scriptures out because it doesn't fit their model of how to make a larger church. I heard yesterday in a meeting that we had at McPherson that maybe we need to lean up our churches a little bit because we might be getting fat on the edges and we're not really doing the things that God has called us to do. Or the things that Paul has told Timothy we all need to do. For the time will come when men will... Now, listen to this. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them in great numbers of teachers to say what their ears want to hear. Actually, it says itchy ears want to hear. Let me read that again. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I mean, if we stop and read the Bible, you know, I read the Bible through every year because for some reason I just enjoy that. I'm always behind, but you know, I catch up and then I get behind and I get caught up. But I'm reading through the Old Testament, partially. And if we stop and really think about what happened to Jezebel and her husband, it wasn't that they weren't religious. Their biggest sin was the fact they brought in a whole bunch of people, 400 if I remember right, to tell them what they wanted to hear. If our religion is all about what we want to hear, we've missed the truth. We've missed the understanding. We've missed the command. We're no longer poured out in a drink offering. We have not sacrificed ourselves fully to God. That's why they'd like to rewrite this. And they say they want to rewrite it so it's easier to understand. No, they want to rewrite it so it says what they want it to say. Not to understand it better. If we take out everything we don't quite like in this book, we've lost the truth. And if we lose the truth, why are we here? They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Does that not sound like our day? Does that not sound like certain doctrines in our culture? Well, it's whatever I feel. It's how I understand it. It's true for me this way. No, it's not. If it doesn't line up, if it doesn't make sense with what this says, it's not truth. I don't care who says it is or isn't. I don't care if you're Albert Einstein and you know everything. If it doesn't line up with this book, if it doesn't line up with what God wants us to know and understand, we're wrong. And if we push the fact, we're sinning. Because we're doing something we know we ought not to do. That's why Paul has indicted, has handed down a ruling to Timothy to teach the word. Nothing else. Not what feels good. Not his own understanding, but the truth. The truth given only by God. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. We're all evangelists. We're all here to grow the kingdom. And if our church grows in that, all the more good. If another church grows, that's okay too. Because we aren't here necessarily to build a super church. We're never going to have 3,000 people in here unless somebody more important than me dies. This will never be a mega church. It will always be a church of firm believers. Because we're going to follow this. We're going to pour our lives out before God as a sacrifice. We're going to allow God to work through us to gain one more person to His kingdom. But we have to make that decision. We have to know that that's what we're doing. We have to be intentional. It's kind of like sin on the reverse. You know, sin's doing something that you know you ought not to do. Being a drink offering, a sacrifice to God, is done with intentionality too. It's something that we have to make a choice and then work at, strive for. Can't be something we do on Sunday morning. We really need to do it every day that ends in Y. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for walking with us, for talking with us, for holding us up, giving us Your Word. Help us learn to give of ourselves. Help us to be that drink offering. Help us to be able to lay it right there at Your feet and know that at the end we'll be like You. We'll be ready for heaven. We'll be ready to walk with You and talk with You. And so we ask, Lord, this morning that You help us with the choice. Help us understand what that really means. Open our hearts and minds to Your understanding and not our own. Help us to be Your people, set apart. We ask all this in Your precious name. Amen.